Good afternoon, everybody. All this preparing for this, and here we is. Yeah, I tell you. Let's have a short prayer, okay? This afternoon, Father, we come to you with an open heart and mind, and we're asking for the Holy Spirit to be present here this afternoon and to lead each one of us here and those who will or are listening by various mediums in all truth and wisdom, and that you would open each person's eyes and ears so that each one of us might be able to understand more thoroughly the study of your word. Amen. Okay, to start with, I want you to understand that I've used the King James Version in most of my translations. My favorite one is the New King James Version, so if, when I give you a reading, I chose the New King James over it, so don't be frustrated by that. And I've chosen today, I'm going to read Colossians 4:12, is the verse that I've chosen to talk about today. And if you'll turn to Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, listen to this, always laboring fervently, my word, for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in part of the will of God. Oops, just a minute there. I think I read that wrong. Let's read it again. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the word of God. Okay? All the will of God. Sorry. Today I'd like to visit with you about how you stand for God, being perfect for God, being complete for God, and knowing all the will of God. But first, who was this Epaphras, and why is he mentioned here? If you'll turn to Philemon, if you'll notice on the scriptures that I want you to read and in the order that we're going to, that you'll look them up, I've got them listed and it will be throughout the talk. Philemon, verse 23. Salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Greek word 4869 is fellow prisoner. It's used three times in the New Testament, and it is translated fellow prisoner in all three times. Now let's go to Romans 16, verse 7, if you will, please. Salute Andronicus and Juno, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. We won't be doing this fast in a few minutes, but one more time, the third place, I want you to turn to Colossians 4, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Mark's sister's son to Barnabas. How do you get to be a fellow prisoner? Or what is a fellow prisoner? Greek word 4869, well, it's one who has possibly, who was possibly a captive with, or even possibly in prison with Paul, for faithfully teaching the gospel of the mystery. And since Epaphras was from Colossae, you'd expect him to be the first one on the list that is sending greetings to Philemon. If you'll turn next to Colossians 1, verse 7 and 8, please. Colossians 1, 7 and 8. as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Epaphras. The name Epaphras means charming. So this fellow named Epaphras was several things. He probably was a native of Colossae. He most likely was a preacher at Colossae that led the study in the mystery truth message that was given to Paul. Number three, he was described in Colossians 1:7 as being a faithful. He was described in Colossians 4:12 as being one of you. And in 4:12, Paul reminds the Colossians that Epaphras was always. Can any one of you here tell me that you've been always fervently praying for someone or a group? Or he was continually wrestling for the Colossians, his prayers, in his prayers. What was Epaphras concerned about or for when it came to the Colossian believers? Well, in Colossians 4:12, it says that the Colossians would stand perfect and complete. And number two, that the Colossians would be perfect and complete, or in other words, fully assured in all the will of God. We've talked about the will of God today. Evidently, Epaphras was concerned about their wavering under some of the influence of the teaching that was going on in Colossae at that time. Now, there are two Greek words translated for the English word stand, okay? One word is 4739, to stand fast or to stand firm. And the one that we're concerned about today is Greek word 2476, to stand fast opposed to falling. So I'd like for you to turn to Romans 14, verse 4, which uses both these two words in the same reading. Okay? So I'm using the New King James Version here, so it may be just a little different. Romans 14, 4. Who are you to judge another servant to his own master? He stands, 4739, or he falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand. We're talking 2476. And that Greek, oh boy, Eddie, you're going to get, you just have to cope with me on my Greek words. Histamine. For God is able to make him to stand. Okay, whether a man stands firm or falls is God's business. In Romans 14:4, God has the power to help us to stand. This is certainly pretty good news for some of us, that God will help us to stand. It's something that we won't have to do on our own. Now, on occasion now, I'd like for you to turn to Acts 26:22. On occasion, the word histamine, or this 2476, is translated into a word other than the word stand. Okay? So, Acts 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue. Now, that word continue is our word 2476. Unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So here, The word continue, like I said, is 2476, so we could read this scripture the following way. Having therefore obtained help of God, I can stand unto this day witnessing both the great and small. This is one of the ways that God can help you and I to stand so that we can speak the word of God to others. Okay, now I'd like for you to go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. Okay? Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. And Ephesians is in the New Testament. Right, Bob? Finally, my brethren, verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the word and in the power of his might. Now listen to this. Put on the whole armor, not part of the armor, of God, that you may be able, what? To stand, and that's our word, 2476. There is our word, against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the, listen to this, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, and there's our word again, 2476, in verse 14, it says, stand. Again, we got it. That's 2476. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So here we got our histamine. 2476 is translated stand three times in these verses. So we see how important it is to stand and resist the evil one. To put on the whole armor of God means to use all the resources of God available to us, and it will help you to stand and also to withstand in the evil day. Our contest is not in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. If you and I are spiritually prepared, we will prevail and we will stand. With his help. What could you tell me about the standing of the members of the church, which is the body of Christ? Well, before the dispensation of the mystery was made known at the end of Acts 28, Paul spoke of baptism into Christ. A good example would be, let's turn to Romans 6, 3 through 4, if you will, please. Romans 6, 3 through 4. Verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Now, I've listed three stages of identification in these two verses. We've got death, burial, and resurrection. And I want you to keep in mind that this is a dry baptism. There was no water involved. It wasn't a ceremonial washing. Also, keep in mind that this baptism was in force during the time that the kingdom was being reoffered to the Jews and a few of the Gentiles. And their hope was the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And it was to be realized at the last trump for the coming of the Lord for his people to see and be with him on earth. But when the dispensation of the mystery was made known, after Paul's last sermon to the Jews, at the end of the Acts 28, there was a further identification made known. Let's call it a better standing for those that would believe the good news of the dispensation of the mystery. Now keep in mind that the baptism of Romans 6, 3 through 4 has not been discarded. It's still basic. Why? I'd like to turn now, if you will, to, let's turn to Colossians 2, 9 through 12. Where in the world did I must have skipped one. Roger, you made a mistake. Well, I'll just turn to Colossians 2, 9 through 12. Colossians 2, 9 through 12. And I want to key in on verse 12. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are, remember this in this conversation, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, on putting off the body of the sins of the flesh of the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12. You buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Okay, the believer has been buried and now risen with him in the newness of life. These three things, death, burial, and resurrection, these are basic. If you want to apply this information to the dispensation of the mystery, you could add the fourth word. Death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Okay? But for Israel, it would be a matter of death, burial, resurrection, and the millennial kingdom. But let's turn here to Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we find that the experience of those believers who have gone on to the mysterion truth, number one, he has quickened us in Ephesians 2:5, together with Christ, which means to be made alive. And number two, he has raised us up together in verse 6. And in verse 6 also, he has arranged for us to sit together with him in heavenly places. You could say he has saved us a seat. This threefold identification with him is in connection with his ascension. Remember, this was not the experience of Israel and their kingdom, which is to come here on the earth. The hope of this other group of mysterion believers is that they are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and they are to be manifested with him. So let's go to Colossians 3, 1 through 4, and verse 4 is what I'm looking for. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection. That is Greek word, affection is Greek word 54:26, okay? And another word for affection would be, your, a new English word today, your thinkings. So set your thinkings on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. We're talking about a place that's far above the clouds of heaven, a place where you won't hear the trumps here on earth. It's a place of our citizenship. It's a prior hope. It's the place where Christ will be manifested, or in other words, or where Christ will be known for the true character that He is. For those who have this hope, they are urged or advised to put their affections or their thinkings on things above, where Christ is now, at His rightful place, not on things that have to do with this world. So set your affections or your thinkings in a certain way. This word thinkings is a verb, and it is an expression of the mind in action, and it has the idea of just plain thinking, reasoning, meditating, reflecting, and contemplating. Our minds are to be actively engaged in thinking and reasoning through the things which are above, namely that we are to be concentrating on Christ Jesus. I really believe the emphasis here is to try to be in continuous concentration on the revealing of the truth. When it comes to Christ Jesus, who is the head of the body, and to put your thinkings on the truth, which reveals Christ as the head of the church, and to concentrate on the Word of God that was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul, what are some of the ways that we could or should be thinking about Christ Jesus? Number one, let's talk about, we need to think on the fact that He is the one who restored you and I to a rightful relationship with God. Number one, He is our Savior. He is our righteousness. He is our redemption. In other words, He's the one who has ransomed us from sin. He's our sanctification. Or He is the one who has set us apart as perfect before God. He is our wisdom, the truth for the body of Christ, the church. Secondly, we're to think about our daily relationship that we have with Christ Jesus. He is the head of the body, which we are a part of. Listen to this one. He loves us with an eternal love. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a real love. He is continuously and constantly interceding for us. He desires for us to have continuous fellowship with Him. He is always ready to cleanse away and forgive our sins. Number three, we need to think about our future relationship with Him. Number one, He is coming again. We're going to share eternity with Him. Number three, He's going to give us a new resurrection body, just like His, one that is suited for eternal existence. Number four, we have the blessed hope to look for that is written about in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. To think about Jesus is to become like Him versus thinking about the things on this earth. You see that the natural person is totally engrossed in thinking about the things on this earth. The natural person measures value and success in terms of things on this earth. Bottom line, I guess, you're either a spiritual person or you're a natural person. On the other hand, spiritual persons don't belong to themselves because they know one thing for sure, and it is they have been bought with the price of the precious blood of Christ. And there's no room for true spiritual believers to be focusing their attention on things of this earth. Believers can be, righteous and unrighteous. They can be overcomers and non-overcomers. They can be just and unjust. The idea is to go on to perfection. Now let's get back to my original Colossians 4:12, and I want to talk. Let's talk about this perfect. Let's look at standing perfect. You've probably heard the old saying that no one is perfect. The Greek word for perfect has a meaning of fully grown. Greek word 5046 for perfect has a meaning of fully grown, mature, or a full age. What is a common idea for the word perfect? Would you possibly agree with me the word sinless? We often think of a person as perfect that hasn't done anything wrong. But on the other hand, maybe this person hasn't done anything right either. In that case, we got us a problem. Okay, let's look at the word perfect. Okay, it'll help us to understand what the word perfect really means. And the Latin per means thoroughly. And the word fec means to make or do. And that comes from the Latin word facio, which means to make or do. So something that is thoroughly made or done, we would understand to be finished or completed. So if you'll turn to Ephesians 4, 11 through 15, I want to look at verse 13. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. Says, and verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, number one, for the work of the ministry, for the number two, edifying the body of Christ. Verse 13, until or to the end, we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even Christ. Verse 12. Now let's consider the fact that Christ has given men. I'm talking about in verse 11, these apostles, gifts, and evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He gave these men as gifts to his church so that they might help to perfect the saints, that the saints in turn might do the work of ministering to other believers. The object of perfecting of the saints is so that we might be better equipped to carry on the work of telling others about this body truth that Paul was given in the end of Acts. Paul wanted all the saints at places like Ephesus and Colossae to be thoroughly trained in the truth for the church. In verse 13, Bullinger changes some of the words for a better understanding. It says, until we all come to the unity of the church, and he changed the next word, even, if you look in your notes, the knowledge of the Son of God to a complete or full-grown man, these three things, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Paul's desire in this verse is that all believers might know perfectly the truth regarding Jesus Christ, so that the believers at Ephesus might move ahead towards the knowledge of the fullness that belongs to Christ, or to the completeness which belongs to Christ. So Paul is not talking about an experimental knowledge when he says that we are to have a perfect knowledge of God. I'm talking about a divine revealed knowledge. And in this case, knowledge of the fact that Jesus Christ is His Son, and He occupies the position of sole head over the church. Or another way of putting it is that Paul wants the minds of all the believers to expand, or to be able to try to comprehend the fullness which belongs to Christ and His body. And also, this goes right along with what Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:23, where Paul wrote that the church, the body, is the fullness of God. And Paul also wrote in Ephesians 3:19, which also is keeping with his desire that they might be filled to all the fullness of God. So if you'll turn to Philippians 3:8-12, I want to look at verse 12. Verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained or am already perfected, but I follow after or pursue so that I may apprehend, or in other words, seize or possess, that for which I also am apprehended by Christ Jesus. As Paul, who admits not being perfect, to, but I follow after, or I pursue, or I grasp, or I seize, or apprehend, that for Paul, which had grasped, and Paul had been grasped and seized by Christ. We already saw back in this verse 8 that we just read, where Paul was to suffer the loss of all things. And in verse 9, the Lord caused Paul to be found in Christ. And now verse 12, the Lord has laid hold, or in other words, seized Paul for a future purpose. On one hand, Paul says the Lord stripped him, but Paul in his body gave to Paul a high calling. On the other hand, Paul recognized his responsibility to vigorously pursue the purpose which the Lord had called him. We see that at this time that Paul was not sure that he had reached into his own perfection, or that he had accomplished the goal. Just a few verses away, go to Philippians 3:15-16. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it. Even this unto you. So, on the one hand, Paul teaches that all believers are completely righteous and sanctified and fully complete in Christ, because in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we also read a while ago, in Colossians 2:10, that you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. So, on the other hand, Paul writes, we read this earlier, that in Ephesians 6:10-20, that all believers are to take advantage of the spiritual armor that God has made available to them, and they are to stand against the evil one and to aggressively proclaim the gospel of grace and the mystery. So, Paul wants you and I to have the same mindset that he has, and he wants us to be constantly pursuing and stretching out towards this thing called perfection, which no believer has yet acquired. I guess I'd have to ask you, are you stretching out for your perfection? Let's go to Colossians 1:28. Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ. The important thing to notice here is that is what Paul was teaching and the content of his teaching. It was in the sphere of all wisdom. The word wisdom here is in the singular, and it refers to a given body of truth. And I'm talking about the mystery, which is a subject of this verse. In Paul's epistles, it is obvious that he commonly used the word wisdom almost every time that he's talking about the mystery message. Let's go to Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. We'll look at verse 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Because the truth that is contained in the mystery is a special revelation of truth regarding the body of Christ, it gives believers like you and I the information that is necessary for living pleasingly to God in this church age. And Paul's purpose was to present every person perfect in Christ before or in the presence of the God the Father. The next word we're going to look at is the word complete in that my verse that I chose. Now, we just read in Colossians 2:10 that we are complete. Now, if we are already complete in him, then what can we do to make ourselves any more complete? Or is there a degree beyond complete? If something is full, it cannot be any more fuller. The new nature within us cannot be improved, nor does it need to be, and the old nature cannot be improved either. It's in doing away with all the forms, the ordinances, the rituals, and what we eat or drink is nobody's business. We don't need to keep any holidays, religious, or even the Sabbath. These are only a shadow of things to come. But now we have the substance, which is Christ. Instead of putting our minds on ourselves, we are to put our affections, or in other words, our thinkings, above where Christ is seated. Now we'll look at the last part of my verse that I had, doing the will of God. What do you think the will of God is? How can you do something if you don't know what it is? Paul is wanting the Colossians to stand as those who are perfect ones and as those who have been fully convinced and persuaded in the total will of God. Paul wants them to know and have full confidence in all the will of God. I've got to ask you, each one of you, answer to yourself. Are you fully convinced about the Mysterion message? Let's turn, while you're thinking, let's go to Ephesians 5:17, right here. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise or mindless or foolish, but understand, in other words, he wants us to comprehend or be wise, what the will of the Lord is. Understanding the will of the Lord is not a matter of feelings and emotions, but instead, it is mentally understanding and applying our minds to God's Scripture. Knowing and understanding God's will through His Word is spiritual wisdom. Now keep your finger there. We'll be right back to where we're at there. A good example of this would be, turn to 1 Timothy. We're going to be right back here. We're going back to 5:18. But 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Verse 3, for this good is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who will have, and the Greek word for will have is 2309, and a better choice of words here than will have would be the word God desires. So number one, God desires that all men are to be saved, and number two, God desires that all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, let's go back here to where I told you to keep your finger. Let's go back to Ephesians 5:18. And it reads, and do not be drunk with wine, which is excess. Instead, number three here, God desires it all to be filled with the Spirit. The Greek word for filled means to fill up or make full. It means that believers are to continually submit to being filled with the Spirit. You and I are to be moving with the Spirit and controlled by and through the flowing of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:6. Again, that's in the New Testament. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. Number four. Doing the will of God, what? From the heart. From the heart. Paul doesn't want their faithfulness to be limited to the time the master is watching them, as some will, who try to make a good superficial showing in his presence, but rather, he desires that they steadily do their work regardless of the master's presence or absence. Individuals who operate on a sight basis are what we call men pleasers. Again, one more time, let's go to Ephesians. This is the last one for where your fingers out. Ephesians 1, 7 through 10, which we had, I want to, verse 9. In Him, verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Paul tells us that God revealed this secret knowledge of his will to Paul. The main emphasis here is on body truth, which God had made known to Paul, which Paul in turn shared with other apostles, prophets, teachers, and elders. The phrase, the mystery of his will, prior to this revealing of God's design or plan for this church age, was hidden or concealed, and his purpose was kept secret from all men. Now I want you to notice in verse 9 that we just read, where Paul also adds that God made known to him the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which means that God was pleased to reveal it to Paul. I want you to keep in mind, because this mystery of God's will was, let's put it this way, this was the masterpiece of God's thinking for this church age. We're talking about the total gamut of truth for the church age, which surrounds the person of Jesus Christ. Christ taught us that knowing God's will and living in obedience to that will is the key to it all. You must keep in mind, God is the potter, we are the clay. God keeps us spinning on his potter's wheel, shaping and reshaping us as he bathes our lives in tears to make us more Christ-like, so he can use us for his will. We are to surrender daily. Keep your clay moist through daily prayer. I'm talking about prayer that's in accordance with his will. You can bow your heads for a second. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for this time that you've allowed us to meet this weekend. And thank you for your holy word. Amen.